safe in our refuge and strength, which is God. And I'm thankful for that. One of the greatest things that we can know is that God is our refuge and our strength. Not just in the good days, but we are safe in Him in the times of trouble. Praise God. Let's turn in our Bibles as we remain standing for just a few more moments. Praise God. Mark chapter 1, and I'm going to commence our reading from verse 32. Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1 and verse 32. The book of Mark opens up at a very fast pace. If you read chapter 1, you'll see that we see John the Baptist preparing the way, that we see the baptism of Jesus, the temptation, and then Jesus begins his ministry and things begin to move very fast. Mark is a different sort of writer than John. John takes his time. In fact, John takes so much time, he gets to the end of his book of John and he says, well, if I was to say everything, there wouldn't be enough room to put it all in words. And but we get here in verse 32 of Mark chapter 1, and the Bible says, and at even, or at the evening time, when the sun did set, they brought unto him, that is Jesus, all that were diseased, and them that were possessed with devils. And all the city, everybody say all the city. And all the city was gathered together at the door. They were gathered together at the door where Jesus was staying. All the city was there. And Jesus healed, and he healed many that were sick of diverse diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak. The devils couldn't even speak because the Bible says, because they knew him. I want you to focus on this. It says, and at evening, when the sun did set. Evening. Everybody say evening. At evening, when the sun did set. I want to speak today on this title, After the Sun Had Set. After the Sun Had Set. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for your word today. Lord, we need your word to speak to us. Lord, we know your word is alive. Lord, it is powerful. But Lord, your word is only as powerful as the reception of our heart, Lord God. Let our hearts not be hard, but let them be soft, O God. Let the soil of our heart be soft and pliable, O God, that the seed of your word may go in and grow and change our lives. Lord Jesus, help our spiritual ears to be open. Lord, anoint our ears to hear what you would say to us as a church. What you would say to us as individuals in this place today. And we give you all the praise and all the glory. And everybody say in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. After the sun had set. After the sun had set. The book of Mark shows Jesus in action. It tells us about where Jesus went and it tells us about what he did. It shows us his life, it shows him who he healed and all of those things. And it emphasizes the good news. Everybody say the good news. Not just about what Jesus said, but the book of Mark emphasizes the good news of what Jesus did. And Mark, as I said, uses brevity in doing this. He explains it in a brief way of all the things that Jesus did. Jesus had recently recruited his first disciples and now was beginning his ministry throughout the region of Galilee. He's going around ministering. He and his disciples in this account had come to this small community of Capernaum. It was the Sabbath day. Everybody say the Sabbath. It was the Sabbath day and Jesus went into the synagogue to teach. The Bible says in verse 23 to verse 26 of Mark chapter 1 that while he was in the synagogue and teaching, that there was a man possessed with a devil and Jesus freed him of that demon. And when this happened in Capernaum, word began to spread around town about Jesus. Word began to spread throughout the community about this man, named Jesus. Word began to spread about the city, about this one the prophets of old had foretold. You see, the prophets had foretold and prophesied that Jesus would come, that he would be the Messiah. And now Jesus was in their small town of Capernaum. The one whom the prophet spoke, Malachi. Malachi prophesied of Jesus, and he said that Jesus, the Son of Righteousness, shall arise with healing in his wings. That's what Malachi prophesied. He prophesied that. It says, but unto you, Malachi chapter 4 and verse 2, but unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. This is a wonderful prophecy of Jesus Christ. He is the Son of Righteousness, and he has healing in his wings. But once again, and let me just take a little stop and just, if you could pay attention for a moment. Once again, I will point out the shortfall of the NIV translation. If you look at the NIV translation of Mark chapter 4 and verse 2, number one, it lowercases the word son. So we don't know that it is speaking of Jesus. The second of all, it says the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his rays. Anybody got that version there? It says with healing in his rays. It changes the word from wings to rays. Now, this is the way it reads. It says, but for you who revere my name, the Son, S-U-N, small s, of righteousness, will rise with healing in its rays. And you say, Pastor Jonathan, why would you talk about that? Why would you highlight that the NIV translation falls short in that place? Let me tell you why that is important. Because you see, the Jewish people wore a prayer shawl called a tallit. The dictionary defines this tallit as a shawl-like garment of wool, silk, with fringes. Everybody say fringes. It had fringes on each of the four corners of the tallit. And it was known by Christians, even today, we still call it the prayer shawl. But it was very important to the Jewish people, as well as Christians, this tallit. It was given to the people by God through Moses. And the corners of the shawl were known as the wings. Everybody say the wings. And so here is Jesus when he goes through the city and there's the woman with the issue of blood. We know that the woman with the issue of blood, she said, I can be healed if I could just touch the hem of his garment. She said, I know I could be healed if I could just reach through the crowd and just touch the hem. If I could just touch the wings of his garment. If I could just touch the wings of that tallit. If I could just touch the edges or the hem. I know that I can be healed. And so she pushed through with faith, knowing the prophecies of old, that if she could just touch the wings of that garment, that she could be healed. And thus it is fulfilling the prophecy that the Son of Righteousness, Jesus Christ, shall arise with healing in his wings. And so the NIV cuts it short by, number one, misleading us with a small s, misleading us by changing the word wings to the rays of the sun. But that's just an aside. Let me tell you, there is healing in Jesus Christ. There is healing in Jesus Christ. You know, I also like to think of that story about the woman with the issue of blood as she reached through the crowd and she did the best that she could. She was without strength. The Bible said that she had an issue of blood for 12 years. She was without strength. She didn't have very much to offer. She didn't have very much strength. She didn't have the ability to go. And as she pushed through the crowd, this weak woman, as she pushed through the crowd, she gave it the best that she had. And even the best that she had fell short of being able to touch H-I-M. And you know, sometimes, and this is the beauty of God's word, the Bible says where two or three are gathered together in my name, That's the only place in the Bible where God gives us an option. He says, if you can get two, if you can get three, but if you can't get three, if you can get two, if two's the best you've got, if you gather in my name, then I'm going to be in the midst of them. And the same is with that woman with the issue of blood. She gave it the best that she's got. She pushed through the crowd. She didn't have enough strength to touch H-I-M, but she touched the H-E-M of his garment, and she was healed. You see, sometimes we don't have strength. Sometimes we might not have the ability. Sometimes we don't know what to do. But if we would just give it our best shot and say, God, I'm coming after you, let me tell you, there will be healing in his wings. Praise God. And so Jesus and his disciples, we get back to our text. In Mark chapter 1, are in the small town of Capernaum. And Jesus is at the synagogue. He had freed already a demon-possessed man. Word had got around the town that Jesus was here. But there was a dilemma. Word had got around that Jesus was setting people free, that the Messiah was in town, that the Son of Righteousness was here with healing in his wings. Word had got around, but there was a dilemma because it was the Sabbath day. And strict practices enforced by the Pharisees at the time did not allow people in the community who had needs. They couldn't go to the temple and obtain a miracle on the Sabbath day. Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 13 and verse 14. Luke chapter 13 and verse 14, we read it here where they are told not to go to the synagogue on the Sabbath. Luke chapter 13 and verse 14, it says, and the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day. And he said unto the people, there are six other days they could have come. He said, there are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them, therefore, come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. So there is Jesus in the temple healing people. A man is freed of a demon. He's set free. He was possessed. Now he's set free and in his right mind. And everybody in town begins to hear about Jesus. Jesus is here. We can have healing. If you're sick, Jesus is here. And then suddenly they realize the dilemma that they face because they couldn't go to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. And so the faith that was so infectious, everybody's faith that rose, Jesus is in town. Have you heard about the man who was possessed? He was delivered of that demon. Have you heard that Jesus is here? He was teaching, and his teachings were amazing. He's in the synagogue. Jesus is here, and faith is rising. Everybody say faith. But the faith that was rising quickly came to a halt as they realize the reality of what they were facing. Although Jesus is here, what can we do? We can't go to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. And so circumstances beyond their control seem to prevent them. They said, you know what? Jesus in town. He's not going to be in Capernaum for a long time. He's here. He's healing. He's setting free. Can't we just go to the synagogue? And suddenly circumstances beyond their control, the fact that it was a Sabbath, seemed to prevent them from getting an audience with Jesus. Some of them, they would have felt demise as they looked and realized that it was a Sabbath. There was no way they could go to the synagogue. Some of them would have said, oh, well, maybe tomorrow we can go. But that was not to be, because Jesus was to rise early before sunrise. Jesus would be moving on to another town. He would be moving on the next morning. He and his disciples would continue going out throughout Galilee and preaching the kingdom of God. And so here are the poor people of Capernaum. Jesus is there. Jesus is at the synagogue, but they can't go. They can't go and get their healing because it is the Sabbath day. And Jesus retires after a long day. It was also a long day for those in town of Capernaum as they realized, knowing that their miracle was only just down the road, that Jesus was here, but they were unable to get what they needed from Jesus. And so Jesus retires for the evening. No doubt Jesus is tired. No doubt from a day of travel, and he's got another day of travel ahead of him waiting. And the Bible says in our text, and we go back to Mark chapter 1, and the Bible says that evening had come and the sun had set. Evening had come and the sun had set. Jesus had already departed from the synagogue. These people are realizing that in the community they had somehow missed their moment. And the setting of the sun somewhat would have been symbolic of the finality. We cannot change it. We can't go back. Jesus was here, but we missed it. He's going to be moving on somewhere else in Galilee. We missed our opportunity. And somewhere, as somebody is beginning to prepare for their bedtime, somebody is weeping at their loss, there was somebody somewhere that realized, hang on, the fact that the sun has set does not signify the finality. It doesn't signify that there is no longer an opportunity. But the fact that the sun had set symbolizes that the Sabbath is over. The Sabbath is over. And you know what? Somebody realized, hey, the sun is setting. Everybody's down. They think that it's over. Jesus was here and we missed it. And here we are crying because the sun has set. But I've come to tell you, because the sun has set, the Sabbath is over. And look at this. And they brought. Oh, guess what? Jesus is still available. It's not the Sabbath. We can go. And he's there in the home getting ready to rest. And they go. They brought unto him those that were diseased. They brought them that were possessed with devils. All of the city gathered at the doors. And what did Jesus do? He healed many that were sick of diverse diseases. He cast out devils. And it says, suffered not the devils to speak because they knew him. This man goes, hang on. The fact that the sun has set does not tell us that we have lost hope. But Jesus, and then someone said, but you can't go to Jesus at night. You can't go to Jesus after the sun has set. Jesus has been busy all day. He's been at the synagogue teaching. You can't go to Jesus at night. Jesus will already be retired for the evening. Jesus will already be in bed. The day is spent. Don't be foolish. Just go to bed and just live with it. Yet there was something that would not stop the stirring in the life and faith of some desperate individual. As long as Jesus is in town, as long as Jesus is nearby, especially if he is leaving early in the morning, I am not going to miss my opportunity to get to Jesus. I am not going to miss my opportunity to get to Jesus. I don't know if others would have tried to talk them out of it, explain why it's too late, but they refused to accept the finality of the dilemma. And they said, we must get to Jesus. I don't know, somebody might have been lame and said, come on, if you've got to carry me to Jesus, if you've got to carry me, get there. If I've got to crawl through the dusty streets of Capernaum, I've got to get to Jesus. I've got to get my miracle. You know, sometimes the devil can come to us and tell us it's too late. The devil can come and tell us that the sun has now set and it's all over for you. The devil can come in the stillness of the night when it's dark and tell you that you've missed your opportunity for the miracle. But I've come to tell you that in the darkest times of your life, when the sun seems to have set, when it seems like you've resigned yourself, that you cannot see your miracle, I've come to tell you that Jesus is still going to heal. Jesus is still going to deliver. Jesus can still set free even after the sun has set. Even after the sun has set. Even after the sun has set. A parade began to form in the streets of that little community. Word had spread. Everybody started coming out of their homes. They headed over to Peter and Andrew's home where Jesus was. And the Bible says that Jesus came out and he healed many that were sick and he cast out many devils. What can we learn from this scripture? Number one, God can be found at night. God can be found at night. And God can and God will work a miracle after sunset. Somebody here is experiencing the night right now. Somebody here is experiencing darkness, even as the tongue and interpretation come forth today. Somebody here is experiencing the dark clouds coming over. But I've come to tell you that Jesus is still alive and Jesus is still working. If you would just call on him, go and knock on the door and say, Jesus, I come to get my miracle. Because Jesus can be found at night. Jesus can, and he will work a miracle after the sunset. And so maybe you feel today that there is no way that God could touch me. God, there's no way. There's no way. I am too far gone. The mistakes that I've made, the things that I've said, people know. All the things that have happened, there's no way that God could touch me. But I've come to let somebody know today that it's never too dark in your life for God to step in and to do a work. It's never too dark in your life for God to step in and do a work. It's never too dark in your life for God to step in and to do a work. Maybe you're here today and you feel like you're going through the most depressing, the most darkest, the most trying time of your life. Sometimes it can feel like it is so dark you don't even know where you're going. You're just groping in the darkness trying to find hope somewhere. You're just groping in the darkness. You cannot even see. Oh, Pastor, it's so dark. I don't even know what the next step is that I'm going to take. But I've come to tell somebody that God can be found at night. He can, and He will work a miracle after the sunset. Clap your hands to the Lord if you believe that. God can work a miracle after the sunset. You see, the disciples were in the sea. They were rowing on their boat. The Bible says they were toiling in rowing. In the middle of a storm. And in the middle of the storm in Matthew chapter 14, we see the disciples are there and Jesus comes to them. When does he come to them? During the day? No, he comes to them in the middle of the night. And he comes to them walking in the middle of the storms. Waves were crashing in. Everybody was crying and screaming. Oh, what's happened to us? Here we are in the middle of the storm. And Jesus came to them walking on the waves in the middle of their turmoil, in the middle of the evening. After the sun has set, Jesus comes in and he speaks those words, peace, be still. In their darkest hour. Not just dark, because maybe we could handle dark, but dark and stormy, fearing for our lives in the middle of the ocean. And what's more, they were doing what Jesus had told them to do. He told them to go to the other side. Questions in their mind of why this is happening to me. They found themselves in a storm. They found themselves in the dark. But let me tell you what else they found. They found a God who works the night shift because he came out walking on those waves. He came out walking to them because Jesus can do a miracle after night. He can and he will work a miracle after the sunset because I've got a God who works the night shift. Somebody here today is in the middle of the night. Somebody here today, maybe that dark cloud is over to you. Maybe you're depressed. You don't know where to take the next step. I've got a God who can do a miracle after sunset. Even in the temple, there was a group of singers who devoted the night or part of the night to praise God. Now, we can't do that around here, otherwise the neighbors complain. Start making songs of praise in here in the middle of the night. But in the temple, there were a class of singers that went in and they devoted the night or even part of the night to sing praises. In Psalm 134 and verse 1 and 2, it says, behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. God doesn't go to sleep at night. Let me tell you, he inhabits the praises of his people. If you praise him in the middle of the night, God is going to inhabit the praises of his people. Sometimes you may be laying in bed and you think, you know what? I don't know what's happening to me. I feel I'm anxious. I'm depressed. I can't sleep. Oh, I got to call the pastor. Let me tell you, you don't need to call the pastor in the middle of the night. I got a God who works the night shift. I've got a God who inhabits the praises of his people. Just laying in that bed, lift up your hands and say, Jesus, I worship you. Jesus, I need you. I praise you, God. And the Bible says that he inhabits the praises of his people. He can and he will work a miracle. He can and he will answer prayers after the sunset. And so stop waiting for the morning before you make a move. Stop waiting for things to get better. Stop waiting for all the circumstances to be more favorable. If you draw nigh to him, it doesn't matter if it's day. It doesn't matter if it's night. If you draw nigh to him, he will draw nigh to you. 2 Corinthians 6 verse 2 says, now is the accepted time. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6 verse 2, today is the day of salvation. Today. Psalm 55 verse 16 and 17 says, as for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. As for me, David says, I don't know what anyone else is doing, but as for me, I've learned to call upon God, and I know that he will save me. Look at this, verse 17. Turn there in your Bible, Psalm 55 verse 16 and 17. I didn't put it on the screen. Psalm 55, verse 16 and 17. Look at it. David says, as for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Why on earth did he put this evening and morning and noon? Will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice? David says, at evening I'm going to cry. At evening I'm going to pray. In the morning I'm going to cry and I'm going to pray. And at noon I'm going to pray and cry aloud because God hears my voice. The fact that the sun has set doesn't mean anything to God, because we've got a God who can and will hear our prayers after the sun has set. Psalm 92 verse 1 and 2, it says, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto his name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness, the Bible says, every night. Every night. And I know that speaks about when the sun sets, but there is times when you experience darkness in your life. And I tell you that God is faithful even when you're going through the darkest of hours. God is faithful. Yeah, you wake up and you say, I'm having a bad day, but I got a God who is faithful. He doesn't have bad days. He doesn't have days off. He doesn't need to sleep. The Bible said he neither slumbers nor sleeps. Our God is faithful. It says in Psalm 121, I just read it. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. Praise God. I said, praise God, church. We've got a promise. We've got a God who is alive. I said, praise God. Somebody say, praise the Lord. We've got a God of work, a God who works the night shift. We've got a God who is able to do a miracle even after the sun has set. Even after they had all lost hope and thought, you know what? Jesus is too busy. Jesus doesn't want to hear my problem. My problem's too small. My problem's too insignificant. No, let me tell you, Jesus is interested in every single one of us. He neither slumbers nor sleeps. There is an account in the Bible in 2 Kings about four leprous men that sat out of the gate of Samaria. We can read it on the screen in just a moment. And these were lepers. Here they are sitting, surrounded by the Syrian army. They were trapped like the people of the city, but they weren't in the city because they were lepers. They were outside. They were free to make a choice. They were outside of the city. In the city was chaos, and it was impossible to fathom exactly what was happening there in the city of Samaria. And here they are sitting there, and they say, if we go into the city, people are dying in the city. There's no food. Children were being eaten. They were so hungry. And they said, if we go in, we're going to perish. There's no question about that. And if we sit out here outside the gates, there's no food out here either. If we stay here, we're going to die. If we go in, we might die. If we stay here, we're probably going to die as well. And so it seems like they've got three choices. If we go back, If we cannot go back, or we die. If we stay here, we die. We have one slither of hope. Let's read the account in 2 Kings 7, verse 3. And there were four leprous men at the entering in, or at the gate, at the entering in of the gate. And they said one to another, the four men, they looked at each other. I don't know what their names were. Bill and Ben and Steve and Rob. Let's say that. Bill and Ben and Steve and Rob. And Bill said to Ben, Steve and Rob, hey, why are we sitting here until we're going to die? There doesn't seem to be any hope. If we say, then we will enter into the city, there's a famine inside the city. And we're going to die in there because there's a famine in the city. And if we sit out here, we're going to die also. Whether we go in, we die. Whether we stay here, we die. Now, I got an idea. Now, therefore, come and let us fall upon the host of the Syrians. Let's go and attack them. The Syrians had surrounded the city. They're in famine because of the Syrians. And one of them, I don't know what, probably Steve, goes, I got a good idea. Let's just attack the Syrians. And everyone else goes, but there's only four of us. Four of us. We don't stand a chance against that Syrian army. Why don't we fall upon the host of the Syrians? And if they save us alive, if they let us live, then we shall live. And if they kill us, well, we die. We would have died in the city. We would have died sitting outside the city. Instead, we get to die because we attacked them. The Bible says they rose up. What does the Bible say? They rose up in the twilight, right before the evening time. They rose up and they go into the camp of the Assyrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, when they got there, there was nobody there. All the Syrian army who was holding the city of Samaria captive, they were all gone. They say, if they don't kill us, we get to live. I like these guys. How many people like these guys? They got some optimism. Once they reach the logical conclusion that no matter how crazy their hope is, they realize that they only had one little chance to survive. You know what? They didn't go to bed on it. They didn't say, well, you know what? Let's just sleep on it. Let's see how we feel in the morning. Let's just see if it's a better day tomorrow. No, the Bible says they just went. They got up at twilight. They got up right before dark. And there is God, I don't know, sitting up in heaven. He looks down on the situation. Something gets his attention. He begins to get excited and he calls the angel over. He says, look down there. Isn't that something? Look at these four leprous men. Look at what they're doing. And he sees the dying city. He sees the surrounding army. And he sees four men. Everybody say four men. Four men marching towards the Syrian army. And the angel says, oh God, it's a tragic suicide. They're lepers. What a shame. And God says, no, I don't think you're seeing what I'm seeing. There are four men walking towards the Syrian army. The angel says to the Lord, he says, then what are you seeing? And God says, I'm not just seeing four men. I am seeing the army of the Lord marching towards certain victory. I've been waiting for someone to stand up. I've been waiting for someone to stop accepting things that they were and to put their trust in me. Let me tell you, God is waiting for some of us to stand up and to put our trust in God. God is waiting for some of us to get sick of our circumstances and say, you know what? I got to pursue God. I've tried to do things in my own strength. I've waited. I've slept on it. I've consulted every friend I knew. I've been to every professional that I know, and I'm still stuck in the same position. Let me tell you, it's time to pursue God. It's time to go after him. And you say, well, what certainty have we got? Let me, these four leprous men had no certainty. No certainty. What, they went into battle, four men against the whole Syrian army. They went into battle on what? An if. An if. Everybody say if. No certainty. They said, and if we go into the city, we die. If. And if we sit here, we die. But if we march against the whole Syrian army. Let's go. Let's trust God. And God looks down. The angel said, "Oh, well, I don't know. Looks like a suicide. They're surely gonna die. And God says, "No, no, I've been waiting for somebody to put their trust in me. I've been waiting for someone to get sick and tired of the circumstances that they're facing, just going through day after day after day, trying to do things in their own strength, trying to fix things in their own way and their own logic." And God says, "I'm gonna honor them." And the Bible gives them the victory that day. The king of Syria, what happens? Freezes. He's eating his meal. He's like, "Can you hear that?" He says, "I hear horses. I hear chariots. There is a big army." Let me tell you, God made those four men sound like a big army. "There is a big army coming to get us." And what happens? They all start running. That whole Syrian army starts running. They swim. They're running. They're running as far as they can away. And God gives those four leprous men the victory. Tell you, you're not smarter than God. You're not smarter than God. You cannot do it in your own strength. You might be able to get through tomorrow in your own strength, but soon you're going to come to that point where you come to the end of yourself. And some of us are here today because we came to the end of ourselves. We got to that point where we realized, you know what? I can't do this by myself. And we turn to God, and God says, "I've been waiting. I've been sending trials. I've been sending all sorts of things in your life, hoping that you would just turn your eyes upon me. I've come to tell somebody today that it's time to turn your eyes on Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of this world, the trouble, the trials, all those things that are happening, the mess that you are facing, and the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glorious grace." Somebody, I know it doesn't seem like it all makes sense. You may only have an if. You might have an if. You might have a maybe. Let me tell you, step out on your maybe and say, "God, I'm trusting you. God, I need you." Step out on your maybe. Step out on your if. Step out on that possibility and say, "God, I'm stepping out and I'm putting my trust in you." Praise God. Clap your hands to the Lord. Amen. You see, God sees things different than we do. God sees things different than we do. Number one, we look at night and we look at it's final. It's dark. We can't do anything. But in Genesis chapter 1, verse 5, God sees things different than us. Because in Genesis chapter 1, verse 5, it says this: "The evening and the morning were the first day." Sometimes the evening signifies the beginning. The evening and the morning were the first day. What do you think? What we think is the end, from God's perspective, is only just the beginning. And some of you know that your walk with God started when you thought you had reached the end. At the evening time, you turned to God, and the evening and the morning were the first day. And so sometimes we're rebuking the night. We're telling it to go away. But let me tell you, sometimes the night comes so that we can turn to God, so God can give us a new day. A new day. You see, God can and God will do a work after the sun has set. You see, the evening and the morning were the first day. To a Hebrew, the day began in the evening. Passover began in the evening at sunset. Sabbath began, we already learned, in the evening at sunset. Even today, the Jewish calendar reckons the day from evening to evening. So it starts at 6 o'clock and goes to 6 o'clock the next evening. And so what we think is the end, from God's perspective, he's only just the beginning. And as Jesus hung on that cross, he uttered some words as he hung on that cross. The Bible says that as he hung there, he said,
It is finished. It is finished. And when Jesus uttered those words, "It is finished," it signified one thing. It was only just the beginning. Everybody else looked at Jesus hanging on that cross and thinking, you know what? He's gone. We followed this man for all these years, for 3 years in his ministry, following him. And this is how it ends. He dies a shameful death on the cross. People gambling over his clothes. People spitting on him. People with a crown of thorns on his head. And as they wandered back to their homes thinking, wondering about what could have been and how the last 3 years and all the miracles, thinking, well, didn't Jesus work miracles? Didn't he heal that blind man? Didn't he heal that lame man? Didn't he cast out that demon? Thinking about all these things, and the disciples are thinking, and for it all to end like this? Let me tell you, it didn't end like that. The fact that Jesus died signified a new beginning. Things were just beginning. And you see, when Jesus was on the cross, you and I were on his mind. And when you turn to Jesus, even in your darkest hour, even when the words may be uttered, "It is finished," I've come to tell you that yes, it is finished, but it signifies the beginning of a new day. Doesn't matter how dark the night, the brighter the light. And Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." The musicians could come. In Luke chapter 6, we read of this man once again on the Sabbath. The Bible says in Luke chapter 6 and verse 6, "It came to pass also on another Sabbath that he entered into the synagogue and taught. And there was a man whose right hand was withered." Everyone say the right hand. Now, Luke was a doctor. Luke picked up things that other people didn't pick up. Other writers would have gone, "There was a man with a bad hand." But Dr. Luke notified and noticed that it wasn't just a hand, but this was the man's right hand. You see, back then it was inappropriate to be left-handed. Everybody was right-handed. So to lose the use of your right hand meant most likely that he was unemployed, that he had no strength, that he was unable to work. He had lost the strength of his right hand. And the scribes and Pharisees watched Jesus, whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find an accusation against him. But Jesus knew their thoughts. And he said to the man which had the withered hand, he went up to the man, he says, "Rise, stand forth in the midst." And that man come, he stood up and he stood in front of Jesus. Then said Jesus unto him, "I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath day to do good or to do evil? To save life or to destroy it?" And looking around about upon them all, he said unto the man, he said, "Now stretch forth thy hand, stretch forth thy hand." And he did so. And the Bible says, and his hand was restored, whole as the other. And what happened? They were all filled with madness. They got angry and they communed one with another, begin to talk. "Oh, look what Jesus has done. That's not right." The man in the scripture had a withered hand. There's nothing special about this man. Just a man with a withered hand. Just one man in the crowd. Not a special man. In fact, the writer didn't even give him a name. He was just one that went to the synagogue. And maybe you're here today. You might not have a withered hand, but you may feel like you've lost your strength. You might feel like it is finished. You might feel like you're alone. You're not what you used to be. I've come to tell you that God is available to ordinary people like you and I. The presence of God is here. God is omnipresent. God is omniscient, omnipotent, all-powerful. He's everywhere. He's all-knowing. God is available to ordinary people. You don't have to be a somebody. And so when Jesus walked up to this man, he said, "I'm telling you, stretch your hand forth." There's something about this man, because
Some of us may have stretched forth our good hand. Maybe we would have, in the presence of Jesus, tried to hide the fact that we had a withered hand, hide our weaknesses. We all sit here quiet, but we do it all the time, to hide our weaknesses. He could have turned to the side and tried to hide that withered hand, and he could have just stretched forth, just to pray, he could have stretched forth his left hand. But such was the man's faith. As he looked in the face of Jesus, he said, Jesus said, stretch forth your hand. And he stretched forth his left hand, and the hand became whole. You see, faith always requires a stretch. Faith always requires a stretch on our behalf. Maybe you're here tonight and it seems like the sun has set. It seems like your time is over. You're sitting here, you feel so ordinary, just in the temple with all these other people. But I tell you, Jesus knows your name. He knows your circumstance. He knows the trial that you're going through. Listen, he doesn't slumber. He doesn't sleep. There is never a better time to come to Jesus. Today is the day of salvation. You can come to him. So whatever your need is, why don't you stretch it out to God and let God do a work in your life. Let's stand in this place today. Let God do a work in your life. Stretch your need out to him. Let your faith be made known in this place. This altar is going to be open right now. Let me tell you, God wants to do a work in somebody's life today. Don't go another day. Don't go another hour. Don't go another week. Don't wait for next week. Don't wait for some sort of confirmation. Oh God, you know, can you confirm this to me? No, let me tell you, today is the day. Whatever your need is, make your way to this altar, because I got a God who's got time for ordinary people. I've got God, a God who honors the faith of those who reach out to him. Don't hide your weakness. Stretch it forth to God in this place today. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands and worship him. Hallelujah, this altar is filling up with people that have needs in this place. Oh, Jesus, we love you, Lord.